All right, we're starting on the top of Tet Zayin Amud Aleph with the word Gufa. Here, Gufa is used in the traditional sense, which is Gufa, we're looking at a member of Amoraim that we brought down before, and now want to understand it more deeply, explicate on it, which is Gufa. Amar Abi Ami Bartuv Yumi. So this is the member that we saw yesterday, Sakha Bivlai Kelim Sula. If you use leftover Kelim here, meaning clothing, for the Sakh, then it's psulah. Now this is despite the fact that it is not tameh anymore because it's got into a position where it's no longer mekabel tumah. Nevertheless, there is a gzirat chachamim that it's still problematic because it came from something that was mekabel tumah. My b'lai kelim, amar abaye matlaniyot, shein bayam shalosh al shalosh. These are pieces of cloth that do not have 3x3 etzbo'ot. T'lo chazian, lo le'aniyin, v'lo e'ashirim. They're no longer valuable, not to a poor person, not to a wealthy person. And since they have no function for either group of individuals, they're not mekabel tumah anymore, they're ois tumah. Nevertheless, it's still problematic because they came from something that was mekabel tumah. Tanya kavete de Rabbi Ami Bartav Yume, we have a braita that supports his position. Machatzelet shel shifa v'shel gemi. You have a mat that is made out of rushes or straw or grass reeds. Shiareha, the leftovers, afal pi shenifchatu miki shiura, even though they are below the minimum amount that would make it to be mekabel tumah, ein misachachin behen. You cannot use them as schach. So here you see, you have items that were mekabel tumah, and then when they go below the threshold for Tumah, they still are not allowed to be used, despite the fact that they're not mekabel Tumah anymore. Machatzelet takanim gidola misachim ba. The large mats of reeds you can use. Kitana, the smaller mats of reeds, ein misachim ba, you cannot use them. Rabbi Eliezer omer, afi mekabel Tumah ve'ein misachim ba. Even the bigger ones you cannot utilize because they are mekabel tumah and therefore they cannot be utilized for schach. The reason the Rashi explains gedolah misachin ba the lav klihu the stam al sikuch. It's made so big that the stam purpose, the general purpose for it or the intention when it's made is to be used as schach. But that's true of the large one. The smaller one is generally used to sit on, to lay on. And therefore, it is a kli, and if it's a kli, it's mikabel tumah, because of the way that it's made or what it's made for, and therefore it cannot be utilized because it's stam l'shchiva, right, that it's used to lay on. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says even the bigger one is used to lay down on, and therefore it's mikabel tumah. Now, this was the original problem with the bamboo mats. Before they started to make the bamboo mats for schach in particular, they were buying them from the Far East, from China. But when they're made there, they're not made for schach. There they were made to be utilized as mats to sit on, stand on, to sleep on, whatever they were utilized for. But their intent clearly was not for shade and for schach. And therefore they were problematic. That was why originally nobody used the mats because of that problem. Well, now where they make the mats in particular for schach, then there's no question of them being a kli to be mekabel tumah because they're not made for that. They're made intentionally or specifically for the purpose of being used as schach. If that's the case, then they're fine to use as schach. A chotet bigadish, someone who digs their way into the pile of grain or straw, and then they have a sukkah. Amar avuna, b'shonu elu she'en sham chlal tefach, b'mesach shiva. That's only if there wasn't an airspace that was a tefach tall by 7 wide before he started to pile it on. Aval yesh sham chlal tefach, b'mesach shiva, if before he started to pile all the grain, the straw on top, there was an empty space of a chlal, a tefach high, and 7 wide, hari zeh sukkah. That is a good sukkah. Now, the chlal tefach high is that you want to have an ohel. To extend it higher, to make it a kosher sukkah, you have to get it up to 10 tefachim. But all that's doing is expanding the existing ohel, because a tefach is the minimum shiur for an ohel. Since that's the minimum shiur of ohel, to make it up to the 10 tefachim is simply adding onto the ohel. You need the 7 wide, because that's the minimum shiur of sukkah. So if you have a minimum shir sukkah that is a tefach high, then you're allowed to expand it up higher, and that's not a problem of taseb lo min asui, because it was already a sukkah before you started. When you're putting the grain on top, it's already a sukkah, and you're simply just adding to the schach that is above it, you're not being posel the sukkah. Now, this might relate to Rav Huna, who's found back on Daf Yud. Back on Daf Yud, we had a machloket about Sukkah Tachat Sukkah. And there, the Gemara wants to know, how do I know that it's not a second layer of Schach, and it's subject to Sukkah Tachat Sukkah? We had a machloket. Rav Huna said, if it's a tefach apart, it's already considered to be Sukkah Tachat Sukkah. Then we had Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna said, you need 4 tefachim. And then we had Shmuel that said, 10 tefachim. You have different opinions about Sukkah Tachat Sukkah. Rav Huna, the Shitato, seems to be saying, just like a tefach over there makes it a Sukkah Tachat Sukkah, a tefach over here is already considered to be a good Sukkah, and if you expand it, then it's fine. You could argue that. The difficulty with that is that clearly Shmuel doesn't fit that way. If Shmuel says you need a minimum of 10 tefachim, that means you already have a Sukkah before you start. I don't know if that would work over here. So what's the chiddush in what he's saying? So Tosafot plays with that. He's not sure if they are the Shittatam over there, or even Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna would agree over here that a tefach is enough, because Sukkah Tachat Sukkah has to have a shame Sukkah. Oh, here all it has to have is a shame Ohel, because it has to have a shame Ohel, it's a shame Tzel, and then you can expand it higher. So because maybe we're looking for something with a different definition, maybe they're different, or you could argue over here that we're also looking for a Sukkah, and he's just expanding the Sukkah, and that they would think you need 4 tefachim here, not 1 tefach. So it's a question if this is Rav Huna l'shitato or not. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a bright that says, Chotei v'gadish, l'asot lo sechachar, is a Sukkah. Someone who digs out, someone who carves into the pile of grain to make a Sukkah, it's a good Sukkah. Va'natznan in a Sukkah. Our Mishnah says it's no good. Elalav Shmamina, Kid Rav Huna, Shmamina. What's the difference between the two Mishnayot? One's like Rav Huna, which is the one that says kosher already had a tefach by 7, and that's why it's kosher. The one that says it's not good is the one where you didn't have that beforehand, and that's why it becomes a problem of tasev lo min asui. Ike deramile mirma. Some of the people set up the member this way, which is not that Rav Huna qualified our Mishnah, and then we bring the Braita to support it, but rather up front, they ask the question between the Braita and the Mishnah, which is, Tan, our Mishnah, Chotei Begadish Lasot Lo Sukkah, Ina Sukkah, Vahatanya. Don't we have a Braita that argues with that? Vare Sukkah, that says that it, Arezu Sukkah, that it is a good Sukkah. I'm Rav Huna Lokasha. Now he's coming to reconcile between the Mishnah and the Braita. Kan be sham chlal tefach v'meshek shiva. Kan shein sham chlal tefach v'meshek shiva. So there, now, to solve the problem between the Braita and the Mishnah, that's how he explains it. He explains that our Mishnah is talking about a case where you didn't have the minimum to make it into an ohel, a tefach high by 7 to make it into a sukkah, whereas the Braita is talking about where you already had that minimum in place, and that's why it was okay. As long as it doesn't be done the shape sukkah, it just has to be done the shape tzel, and whatever you're adding on is still the same tzel. That's what you have to say. The original, it wasn't hollowed out. The original one you piled over, leaving the empty space, so you created some l'shem tzel. Then your assumption is that everything you're adding on top is just adding to your tzel. Mishnah, ha-mishoshel difanot milmalo lemato. Someone who drops down walls from above to below. Rashi seems to indicate they're actually stitching them or making them that way. They're not even just rolling them out. They're actually weaving them on the wall down as it comes down. It's more than 3 tefachim off the ground. It doesn't work. It's psula. If you start from the ground and go up, again, either you're unrolling or unfolding them that way, or, I mean, even if you place a board that way, however you get to it, Rashi again says he's weaving it that way. As soon as you hit 10 tefachim, ksheira. So this invokes two principles that we know from Eruvin. One is god achit, and one is god asik. So god asik means that the wall continues to go up. If you've hit the minimum shiur of a halachic wall, which is 10 tefachim, then god asik, then it continues to climb. The wall continues up, even though it doesn't reach the schach. It's as if it reaches the schach, as long as you have the minimum shiur of 10 tefachim. That's utilized in the sukkot, where they have the canvas walls and they have the strings around the bottom to make sure that you have stationary walls. They invoke the principle here of god asik. They have a wall that is 10 tefachim high through the strings. And then, whatever's above it doesn't matter because it goes up to reach the schach. Then you have the good achit, which is that if you have a wall 10 tefachim, we drop it down. Even if it's suspended, we drop it down until it hits the ground. Now, if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, there's no question, because then between the wall and the ground, you have lavud, and it's not an issue. When it's above 3 tefachim, that's where it becomes a question of whether do we invoke this principle of good achit. That turns into something called the mechitza tzvuya. A hanging mechitza. Do we use a hanging mechitza or not? In Sukkah, if it's above 3 tefachim, it's psula, because what we call gedim bokim bo. If a kid as a baby goat, not as a child, can slide easily under and get into the Sukkah, then it's not a Sukkah, the wall is not really there. So therefore, it's not a valid Sukkah. So then we have the din of mechitza tluya, which we discussed in Erevin, where there's a machloket whether mechitza tluya works, or does mechitza tluya only work ala mayim, only on water, which is what we're going to see here. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kashem shalamata lamalo atzarat tfachim, just like when you go from down to up, when you invoke good asik, we say that 10 tfachim is sufficient. Kach me lamalo lamata, from up to down, atzarat tfachim, doing good achit, 10 tfachim is sufficient, and mechitza tluya is fine. But my kamiflege, what's the machloket here? Mar savar mechitzat tluya materet, umar savar mechitzat tluya ain't a materet. It's simply a machloket about whether mechitzat tluya works or doesn't work. According to Rabbi Yossi, it does work. According to the Tana Kamo, it does not work. It's not hatam. We have a mishnah in Eruvin. 4. Sheben shtei chatzerot. We have a cistern that sits between two chatzerot. Eimim alim emenu b'shabbat. Neither one of the chatzerot can fill from it on Shabbat. This is assuming that there's a wall down the middle between the two chatzerot that crosses over the board as well. And there's no way for these two chatzerot to bring an eruv together. Because there's a wall between them, there's no opening in the wall, they can't make an eruv together because they don't have shared space. So their lack of eruv makes it problematic for them to draw the water from the cistern that's shared space. Because when you take the water out, you're taking water from areas that belong to both chatzerot. Ela im den asala mechitza asarat tfachim. The only way you can do that is if you make a special mechitza, particularly for the cistern. Ben milamalo, ben milamato. Whether it's above or below, ben betoch okno, or whether it's inside the ogden. As Rashi points out, malo lamato over here is not above the rim of the cistern and below the rim of the cistern, but rather, milamato means ben samuch lamayim, means it's close to the water, or ben milamalo is the same as toch okno. Ben milamala is the same as being right around the rim, meaning just below the rim. Not above the rim, but inserted 10 tefachim into the rim of the cistern, or is it right above the water? For that reason, Tosafot over here says, V'ish farim shekatuv behen ben milamata mitoch ogno. He says that doesn't make sense, because imkein lamala ainu chutz labor. That means that the other area is outside of the bor, and that's not the case.
You already have a mechitza there.
Right, you already have a wall that's going across the top. The whole point here is that this mechitza is for the cistern in particular. So it's got to be inside the cistern. Question is, where in the cistern? It could be on the top, right at the edge as you enter it. It could be right above the water. And when there is a machloket amoraim in Eruvin as to whether lamalo lamata means up at the rim or by the water, or does it mean down in the water versus on the top of the water? But then we're not dealing with that here, but just the fact that it's just not above the rim of the cistern. That for sure it's not. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Beit Shammai omrim milamalo, Beit Hillel omrim milamato. Beit Shammai says up, and Beit Hillel says down. As Tosafo points out, Bechol Sfarim garsin l'ipcho beperek ketzad mishatfin. In Eruvin, the Gersa is the opposite for a good reason, which is that it seems here that Beit Shammai is l'kula. To put it, the malo is a kula. To put it in the mayim itself is obviously a more defining mechitza with regards to the water. So to submerge the mechitza, first of all, it's more difficult, and it's more dividing of the water. To put it up top and say it's theoretically dividing it, and it's a mechitza tzliya, is a bigger kula. So it would make more sense that it's Beit Hillel lamalo and Beit Shammai lamato, although our girsa is reversed over here. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo tei mechitza gedola min akoto shebeneem. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do I need? All of these mechitzot in the bor, you have a mechitza that runs straight across the top of the bor, and that will suffice to be the mechitza over here. So, Amar Rabbi Barchana, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, b'shitat Rabbi Yossi Amra. Rabbi Yehuda is subscribing to this position of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, d'amar mechitzat huya materet. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the wall that goes across the top of the bor works here, is because he thinks the mechitzat huya works, just like Rabbi Yossi thinks the mechitzat huya works. Now the Gemara is going to say this is not true. The Gemara says, Velohi, it's not true. Lo Rabbi Yehuda sever like a Rabbi Yossi, velo Rabbi Yossi sever like a Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda. These are independent opinions. Lo Rabbi Yehuda sever like a Rabbi Yossi, adkan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda hatam, elo biruvei chatzerot derabanan. Rabbi Yehuda is mekil over there because we're talking about a din derabonon of a hocha suka de oraita lo. But here we're talking about sukkah that requires a wall mina Torah. That's not going to suffice. The mechitza tzuya is not going to work. So even though he argues in Eruvei Chatzerot, that's because we're dealing with din derabanan. Over here, he might agree with the Tana Kama and say that you do need a mechitza that reaches the ground because we're talking about a wall de oraita. Now, it's obviously that the other problem there, possibly, is that the wall that cuts through the chatzer was not built specifically to divide the cistern. It was built to divide the chatzerot. So it's not something that gives you any indication that it's dividing up the cistern because it just runs on top. That's why the Tanakama requires that you put in a separate mechitza to show that you put in mechitza specifically for the boar. Then, the other way around, true. Velo Rabbi Yossi, sava like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi doesn't necessarily subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda. Ad gan lo gomer Rabbi Yossi ochele besugah, the mitzvah tesei. Rabbi Yossi's maker over here, because the sukkah is simply a mitzvah tesei. It's a positive commandment. Of a Shabbat, the Isra skila. A violation of Shabbat, which results in skila, which tells you that it is a very chamur, negative precept. Lo, there he won't say it. Now, even though everybody agrees that Erev Chatzerot is the Rabbanan, he's not arguing on that point. He's just saying that the Rabbanan is a derivative of an Isur Shabbat that is Isur Skila. So since Shabbat is more chamur than Sukkah, I'm going to be machmir in Shabbat. Even in Dinei de Rabbanan, I'm going to be machmir in Shabbat. Vim tomar. And if you say, Maseh shenaseh b'tzipori alpi minaseh, then if that's the case that took place in Tzipori, which we'll describe in a second, alpi minaseh, who was the governing authority that allowed that to happen? Lo api Rabbi Yossi. It's definitely not according to Rabbi Yossi. Ela api Rabbi Shmuel ber Rabbi Yossi. It was actually done by his son, Rabbi Shmuel ber Rabbi Yossi. As Rashi points out, Rabbi Yossi is the Rosh Yeshiva in Tzipori. So since he's the Rosh Yeshiva in Tzipori, this is a case that happened on Shabbat, and they allowed a mechitza tzvuyah. So you would think that would disprove what we just said before, which is that Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda's position in Shabbat. He says his din in Sukkah. He does not say it with regards to Shabbat. Over here we have an incident in his town where he's the Mor d'Atro, and they allowed a mechitza tzuyah. So that's what the Gemara says. It wasn't him that did it, but rather it was his son. He had already passed away, and it was his son that was matir. So that does not undermine what we just said. So now, my masa, what was this incident? The chiato ra'abdimi. Amar pamachat shachachu v'lo hiviu sefer Torah me'erev Shabbat. They forgot to bring in the Sefer Torah on Erev Shabbat. So they had in the shul, they had an Aron Kodesh, but they did not lock up the Sefer Torah in there for fear of leaving them there without proper lock and key. So people would take them home during the week to their houses, and they would store them in their houses so that they were under protective watch. Before Shabbat, they would normally bring the Torah over to the shul, so that it was there on the shul. They forgot. So now they have a problem. They need to get the Sefer Torah from this house to the shul, but they don't have, either they don't have an Erev Chatzerot. It's a case where they have a Chatzer with multiple homes and this home that is entering into, as well as the Beit Knesset. Or it's a case where you have multiple Chatzerot that enter into a Mavoi, and the Beit Knesset also enters into the Mavoi. It's one of those two options. And either they didn't make a Shituf Mavot, or they didn't make an Erev Chatzerot. So what did they do? The Machar Pirsu Sadinin Agabe Amudim. They, for instance, had clotheslines there, the equivalent of clotheslines. The next day, they put sheets on the clotheslines to segregate that area. By segregating that area, they either isolated the chatzer where the Sefer Torah was and the Beit Knesset, and therefore they could carry one from the other because now it becomes the sole purview of the one who owns the chatzer there. All the other people in the chatzer relinquished their control to him, and then he becomes the owner plus the Sadinim, and he can carry it through to the Beit Knesset. There's nobody living in the Beit Knesset, so that's not going to be Oser over here. Or in the case of the Mavoi, they isolated that part of the Mavoi between him and the Shul. They view Sefer Torah b'karubo. They brought the Sefer Torah and they read it. Where it says, Pirsu, sakadatcho. How could you put up sheets? Meichan heviyum b'Shabbat. How do they bring the sheets on Shabbat? Until now, we've said the Chatzer or the Mavoi does not have either Erev Chatzerot or Shituf Mivot. How are they carrying the sheets to make it that way? You can't even make it in that way. So how did they get them there? Ela matsu sadinim prusim agebe amudim. It's not that they brought them there. They were already hanging on the clothesline. Ve'viu sefer Torah v'karubo. And they were so meich on those sheets hanging on the clotheslines to utilize it. So there are two assumptions here. One assumption is that they were hanging on the clothesline and they didn't reach the ground. So they were mechitzot ha'tzvuyot. That's number one. And number two is, the case here seems to indicate, and that's what Rashi says, that the problem was not putting the sheets up. The problem was getting the sheets there. So Rashi says, that's the Gemara's question. How could they get the sheets there? Why? Rashi is the sheets ato. We've seen this before. Rashi believes that an ohel can only be created when you put on a gag. The roof is called ohel. The walls are not called an ohel. You can put up as many walls, as long as they're temporary. An ohel harai, you can put up as many of those you want on Shabbat, even litchila, to start. Because walls are not called an ohel. An ohel is only the roof. So over here, where they're just making walls with these sheets, no problem whatsoever. The only problem was getting them there. And that's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Tosafot, like in the other places, argues on Rashi and says that Ohel can reference. Rabbeinu Tam says, or near Rabbeinu Tam, the Minetzad Nami Shayach Asiat Ohel. That even when you put up a wall, it's called an Ohel. Now, that is only true when it's what's called Mechitza HaMateret. It's a Mechitza that does something halachically, that it's Matir, a space to be utilized. So, for instance, he brings a distinction between the third wall and the fourth wall of a Sukkah. In the third wall of a Sukkah, you cannot put it up on Shabbat, because that's putting up an Ohel Arai, Lich Tchila, and it has halachic ramifications, because now it makes the Sukkah Kshera, because it's now the third wall. On the other hand, to put up the fourth wall, which is unnecessary, that wall simply becomes litzniut and not a halachic ramifications. So therefore, to put up that wall on Shabbat would just be what's called mosif al ohel arai and not make an ohel arai b'tchila. But in the end, he says there is a problem putting up a wall that's called an ohel. And that's the problem over here. The problem that they're asking about here is the sadinim. How did they put the sadinim up? He says, hey, viyum, no problem. You wear them. You wear them like a toga. You bring them over, and then you put them up. That's not a problem about getting them there. The problem is you can't make a mechitza or an ohel b'tchila on Shabbat. And therefore, that was what they were worried about over here. And the Gemara's answer is, they were already there before Shabbat. So it's not a problem. Now, whether they were already there before Shabbat, and therefore it was only extending an ohel arai, which you're allowed to do, you're allowed to be mostly follow arai on Shabbat, whether they were fully stretched out already, it's not clear. But either way, they were there enough so that it wasn't creating an ohel on Shabbat because they were already there. We've seen this in Shabbat and Erevin, this Machloket Rashi and Tosafot. We've had numerous cases whether there's a problem with walls being an ohel or arai, making them a tefillah on Shabbat or not. Rashi thinks there's no problem whatsoever. It's just the roof that's the problem. Rashi also thinks, like the Rabbeinu Tam mentioned here, even the walls are problematic. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yimei, mechatzelet arba'a umashuhu. If you have a mat that is four and a little more tzfachim, materet besukah mishum dofen, that works in terms of a wall inside of the sukkah. Hecheyavit. What's the case here? Talilei be'emtza, he hung it halfway up. He needs a wall that is 10 tefachim high, and that's where the top of the sukkah is 10 tefachim high. So he puts it in the middle, this is 4 and a little more, which means that the residual is a little under 6. The residual is a little under 6, he splits into 2, little under 3 spaces. And so therefore it is, pachom ishlosha lamato, it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, but also pachom ishlosha lamala, within 3 tefachim of the top or the cross beam. So by doing that, he has a loved below, a loved above, and he's all set to go because now he has a wall that is 10 tefachim high. Anything under 3 is considered like a lavud, like a solid wall. You don't have to teach me the din of lavud. We know the din of lavud, you don't need an amora to teach you that. The Gemara says, no, this is a chiddush here. Madu teima chad lavud amrinan. That we only invoke lavud one time. Trey lovod lo amrina.
Only get one.
Right, we don't invoke lovod from both sides. Mashmalon, that we do. We do say lovod on both ends, and therefore it works over here. So Tosafot asks your question. Tosafot says, "V'teima da nami milta pshitoi." What are you talking about? This is also pshita because we do our machshir putting up the kanim with less than 3 tefachim by them, and there you use lovod multiple times without any problem. Because the Dofen Sukkah, the Dofen Shabbat, and therefore if you put up the poles less than 3 tefachim away, it works on Shabbat, it works for Sukkah. So he says, V'shem asal kadatcha, maybe you would have thought, l'chalek ben sheti le'erev, to distinguish between standing poles and horizontal. V'ein lakshot, what do you mean to distinguish between horizontal? How about the shnei chavalim, the strings? Over there we use the strings, shovyan yetzer mitefach, v'amin alobot. Because ha'aminin hotam t'lo itira lo b'shayirah. That we said was only a dispensation that was granted by a shayara. That's not the type of wall you want to make on a regular basis. That was unique for a shayara. So we're not going to extrapolate that. Here we have a din that is a normative din that's being used in sukkah, not just in the case of shayara. So Tosfot says that the kanim that are standing, yes, you might have had a question from there, but now we're using horizontal instead of vertical. Maybe the din should be different. We also have that din in horizontal. Says that was an exceptional din for Shayarat, that wasn't your everyday wall. So therefore we would thought maybe you can't do it. And then the answer is you can. You can have multiple lovewoods that work inside of a wall of a sukkah. That's what Rav Chista Amar Rav Yimei comes to teach us. Meitave, machatzelet shiv'a umashu, materet b'sukkah mishum dofen. A wall that is 7.5 high is materet b'sukkah mishum dofen. It works as a wall. Why do you need 7 and a little? You could have sufficed with 4 and a little. Why is the bright to bring 7 and a little? Ketanya yi b'sukkah gdola. That's talking about a very large sukkah. But a large sukkah, the problem is that you're not going to reach within three tzvachim of the top of the sukkah. So therefore you only have one lovel to invoke, and you have to put it down below. So my gamashvalan, the mishashlim davanot milamala lamato. So now, what I said is wrong because of the conclusion of the Gemara. It seems to be that Rashi had a different girsa in the Gemara as well, because Tosafot criticizes Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, and we don't have what Tosafot quotes in Rashi. If I just told you here that you had a wall that was 7 and a little more, and you're utilizing lovewood to close it up, so how do you, would you explain this? You normally would explain this. The simplest way to explain this is that it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, and therefore you have a 10 tefachim high wall, and the whole sukkah is kshira. But the Gemara concludes here, and that forces us to reinterpret this statement. The Gemara says over here, kamash malan, what is it teaching us? Am I kamash malan? Shashalim tefanot, mi lamalo lamata, ki Rabbi Yossi. This breita is like Rabbi Yossi, that you can start from the top and come down. Which means that the Gemara believes that this wall was within 3 and 5 tefachim of the top of the sukkah, and it is a mechitza tzvuya. Now, you wouldn't have said that. Had you just had the breita, you would have assumed like what I said, which is that it's closer to the ground. That's less of a chiddush than to say that it's closer to the top. But by the fact that the Gemara says kamash malan, that it's like Rabbi Yossi, that means that the Gemara clearly viewed it as being close to the top. How the Gemara knows that, we don't know, but that is the way the Gemara concludes. So here, that's what Tosfot says. Rashi interpreted, he put it within 3 tefachim of the ground, which would be the simplest way to understand that breita. Kach perish akuntris, which we don't have in our Rashi. Our Rashi does not say that. Our Rashi says it's the malo, like Tosfot. Aval b'chol asfarim garsinan. All the asfarim have afterwards, maika mashmalan, demishashel dvanot, mimalo lamata, k'rabi osi. That they all say, oh, this is a mechitza tzvuya. Lefikach tzarech lefareish demamida lamala pacho mishlosha samuch l'skach. He puts it within 3 tefachim of the skach. Now again, that does not come out of the breita. If you read the breita alone, you wouldn't know that. It's only because the Gemara says that's the kamash malon that you know that that's the interpretation of the breita. Again, how the Gemara knows that that's the interpretation is not clear, but that is the Gemara's conclusion here, that the mechitza tzvuya, this breita is saying is okay, like Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi Ami. Okay, now we have another Memra Amoraim. Pas arba'a umashu matir besuka mishum dofen. So here you have a board that is 4 and a little longer wide. That works as a wall and a sukkah. Umukim lab be pacho mishlosha tfachim soach buchle dofen. And then he has to put it within 3 tfachim of the perpendicular dofen. And then he ends up with 2 walls. He ends up with 1 wall, plus the second wall is this 4 and a little more within 3 tfachim of the other wall. You get a wall that's 7 tfachim long, which is a minimum shiur for a sukkah. Since it's within 3 tefachim of the other wall, that's like lovud. What does that teach us? Again, you're invoking lovud. Again, what's the point? It tells us what the minimum shiur of a sukkah is, and that is 7 tefachim. 7 by 7 tefachim is the minimum shiur of a sukkah, and therefore if you get a wall to 7 tefachim, you have a kosher sukkah, because that wall suffices to be a wall of a sukkah. Now this is important because earlier on, Rashi said that the minimum shear of a sukkah is shiva o mashu. 7 a little more by 7 a little more. Rashi says it back on Daf Dalet. There Rashi keeps saying that it's shiva o mashu. It's not clear where Rashi got the shiva o mashu from, because the Gemara here says shiva. The Marsha over there points out that even Rashi himself later on starts to say that it's 7 by 7, including over here that the minimum shear of a sukkah is 7. And Rashi says, you can dofit shiva, that's enough. So why Rashi said shiva mashu in those cases back then is unclear. It can't just be an error because he does it more than once. You know, if he did it once, you'd say, okay. Then now he's doing it more than once, it's hard to argue that's a taut sofrim. It's not so easy to understand why Rashi did the shiva mashu. But here we have the minimum shiur of sukkah, which is shiva al shiva. 7 by 7 is the minimum shiur of sukkah. And that's what this teaches us, that if you have a board 4 and plus, that is within 3 tefachim of the other wall, then you can create a dofin shiva for your sukkah. And then Tosfot points out that this is following the Pshita Rabbanan, that you only need 2 real walls for a sukkah. The third one can be a halachic wall, not a full-fledged wall. So that's the Pshita Rabbanan. You don't need a full stretch of 7 tefachim to be that third wall. And that's what Tosfot points out here. Sukkah b'shtei tefanot. A sukkah is sufficient to have 2 real walls. The Pshita, the Kula Amorai, the Elba Pirkin, because all the Amoraim follow the position of the Rabbanan. Damash, time kiyochatam, that you have 2 that are kihalacha kamin ge'im, which means that they're perpendicular, they're on a right angle. And then you have the third wall, which is a halachic wall, that you put in a tefach and mashu, which is within 3 tefachim of the wall, that gets you rove of a wall on that side. That's why Tosfot says, is pointing out that this is the second wall, and that's the way we pass them, like the Rabbanan. Okay, we'll stop over here.